Yeah, do we have a topic tonight?
Wrong. You're listening to Time to Lean and Here's a Song with your hosts, John and Phil. Thank you.
So I go to the Muddy Pig sometimes. So this isn't a topic suggestion.
What's the Muddy Pig?
The Muddy Pig is a pub, I guess you'd say, in St. Paul. It's kind of a neighborhood place, and I like to go there every now and then. And they have a good beer selection. And they also have Whiskey Wednesdays, so maybe we'll do a live podcast there from some on a Whiskey Wednesday. I tried a couple different beers there this time and actually wrote them down. But the one I had was Odell Saint Lupulin. Lupulin? Lupulin. Let's say Lupulin. And which is evidently the name of the hop resin. And so they actually just use the resin somehow in this process. And
that's what I put on my baseball. That's rosin. Sorry.
You should get some Lupulin rosin. Made out of hemp.
Extra sticky.
That wouldn't be good for playing the bass.
No.
Oh, you could play that one note really good. But this Odell, and they're from Fort Collins. This is a dry hop DPA. It was, of course, a little more resiny. And it was it's one of their summer seasonal beers. It's clean and crisp. And it's thought of it more of as a hint of a pine flavor instead of more of the citrus.
Not so much grapefruit.
No, that some of the hoppy ones can get that citrus.
I think it's really funny that I don't really like hoppy beer, but I love grapefruit. It's a conundrum.
there are some. Do you ever get that grapefruit liqueur that? Aperol?
Oh, I've never tried it, actually. I've seen it.
Zapper. Yeah, well, I think you need that, and I got that because I needed it in a... I forgot the name of the drink. Sazerac? Yeah.
Phil could mean Campari in a Negroni.
That's a drink. It's a famous drink, yes.
And I think it was in that one with old vermouth and gin or something. Anyway. And some bitters.
It's pronounced gin.
God damn it. Or jod damn it. Listen, God. Listen, God. I have to have a word with you. No. The other one I had there was recently was a Modest Supra Deluxe, which is from Minneapolis, the Modest Brewery. And it is an American Japanese style lager. How about that?
So it's a combination of Sapporo and Coors?
Well, maybe better than Coors. Yeah. But it's got rice and Pilsner malt, and it's hopped with a Japanese Suriachi Ace hops. There you go.
That's really great. Sounds like a fun place to hang out. They should sponsor us.
I don't know. So we'll have to tag them. We don't. They're on Instagram. We're not on Instagram yet. We were going to try to do a Twitter, but...
We don't know what a Twitter butt is, but the Twitter account for Time to Lean is at Time to Lean. The number two. Time, the number two, Lean. Thank you.
We haven't come up with it.
We'll have a Twitter account up soon. I just have to decide on a good name.
We haven't
thought... There's another podcast, actually, called... TTL, or stands for Time to Lean. I don't know what theirs is because it's about video games.
Time to lose quarters.
Lose, yeah. They're bad video game players. Time to lose.
Time to lose all your quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you know.
We'll post that on the Facebook page if people want to follow us on Twitter.
Another potential topic would be the halcyon days of the arcade wars in Rapid City. Do you remember those?
Video arcades, Rapid City used to have several of them at least. Why don't you tell me the ones you're thinking of?
But first, a word from our sponsor tonight, Sizzlin' Oat Bran with shiny pumice granules. Hey kids, you can actually watch it digest in your stomach from outside. We know it's good because we tested it on monkeys. But don't take our word for it. Dr. Mink Patterson, noted nutritionist, says not one monkey died. Belinda Macnink of Trumbleton, Pennsylvania, adds, its sizzling bubbles reach those hard-to-reach places in my small intestine. Sizzlin' Oat Bran. God damn, that's good.
Hello.
Hello. How low can you go?
I'm already there.
I've been there for weeks. Hi.
We're back.
So, it was the 80s. I don't know what years that was, the great arcade wars of Rapid City.
Was that about our junior high years? Is that about right, or slightly before that, early 80s?
Well, wait, no, because I could drive, I think. No, but in South Dakota, you could drive when you were 14, so.
So maybe, yeah, okay. Early 80s, though.
I don't know what year. But yeah, so I remember the first, what was the first arcade you remember going to in Rapid City? The video games? Probably the Rushmore Mall?
I don't know if it was that one or not. The first one I remember was about a block from my parents' house. On Mount Rushmore Road, or 8th Street, as we insiders used to call it. You know where Boyd's Liquor is, right? On Rushmore Road.
I don't think I ever went to that arcade. Okay. So there was an arcade there?
Well, so before that, the building's been since demolished and rebuilt. But before that, there was this, it was almost a shack. when it first went up, when I was really young, it was a Mexican restaurant.
Right.
Like a poor man's Taco John's or something.
Well, there you go.
For all I know, maybe it was amazing, but I don't think it lasted that long. And
it's hard to compete with Taco John's.
Yeah, we'll have a separate show just on that. And they should sponsor us.
Well, we need a sponsor.
Yeah, we do. Keep listening, people, so we can sell out. this place went under, or they changed the business, and it became an arcade.
It was a Mexican arcade.
It may have been Mexican.
So they'd give you like free tequila drinks while you were playing the slots.
Slots. Not that kind of arcade, Phil.
You know, it was kind of like gambling for some of those kids. But no, I don't. Yeah.
But that was the first one I remember going to, because it was right next to our house. I don't know how many years it was open, and then of course it became a liquor store.
I think the first place I played video games probably was at the Rushmore Mall, but they didn't. I don't think they ever got into the token wars.
So that leads us up to that. Now you're thinking of the ones on East North Street.
Yeah. Oh. There were some
before you start. What is the deal with who named it East North Street? Southwest Street. You know,
it was Oliver Eastnorth.
Bad idea. Anyway, go ahead and tell me the one you're thinking of.
Is there a West North Street?
Yeah. No, I don't think there is. I think it's
why isn't it just North Street?
And then it goes down the hill, and then it becomes another street, right?
But it's not North Street.
You know, it's like it starts but down by what used to be the Prairie Market and goes up the hill, and you have all the crappy motels and,
you know, I
Kmart
didn't go,
at the end.
I didn't go to the arcades there so much. I went to the more towards, I guess, past the Gap, as they say.
So I know the one. I know the one you're talking about. Go ahead.
There was Western. So there was a gas station. One of the places I went to was a gas station, and it had this back room. And I don't know how I ever found out about it, or I don't know. There were a lot of cars.
Yeah,
I
remember going there. Yeah, go ahead.
But so they, you know, they'd have like, 10 tokens for a dollar or something. And then I found out there was a more closer to the Taco John's. There was that 2 or 3 story building, and you'd go upstairs there, and they had a lot more games, and then they would say, okay, well, 20 tokens for a dollar. I don't know how high it got, but it was, I remember one summer it was getting, you know, 30 tokens for a dollar or something. You could play
amazing.
You could play for hours.
That now that's a race to the bottom.
And they both went out of business.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I remember that place. I don't remember the one up the hill though. It's funny.
The one by the Taco John's?
Yeah, in the Pizza Hut across from the National Guard Armory. Or yeah, not armory, yeah. But camp.
Well, yeah, they like to camp there. They had the bonfires.
Yes.
And they made s'mores.
Tanks on fire. Yeah. Token warfare.
So was there an East-North version of the war the war going on?
I don't think they had a war, but it was another one of these ones that for a few years they had a ton of games, and it seemed like they gave you way more than four for a dollar. And that one was, I want to say, Long's Pit Stop. It was in a gas station also. It's kind of near it's like halfway between the top of the hill and Kmart.
Yeah. I don't know why I gravitated towards the Western ones a bit more, but I think I probably checked that one out.
Oh, I remember riding my bike over to the West Side one, though.
For a while there, though, there were video games that everywhere. Like, I remember going up to a gas station sort of halfway between my house and your house before I even knew you. Across from the dry cleaners and the drive-through dentist, and
yes, I know that one.
And they'd have a couple video games there that I'd go to.
Well, even right next door to my old grade school, Mini Mart, they often had at least two video game cabinets.
Sure.
My younger brother and I would sneak over there and play Venture or one of those other.
Venture, yeah.
Which that's a game that doesn't hold up, but we play all our classics, and they're a famous one that my parents would like to tell about us. Where, and maybe it was just me, maybe Rob was there too. I can't remember, but I'll take credit for it, I guess. And we had a dog, and I was supposed to walk the dog. Instead of walking the poor dog, I went over to Mini Mart and tied the dog up outside and played video games.
And they were like, "Wow, that's a really long walk."
Somehow they figured it out. And
Sandy? Was that Sandy?
Sandy, yeah. The golden retriever, the most unoriginally named dog ever.
Oh, what a sweetheart!
She was a nice dumb golden retriever, which maybe is an oxymoron, but
a sweet dog.
Yeah, she was great. I got her 10 years old. She was brought home.
When you were 10, not when she was 10.
Nope, she was a puppy. And like almost every other family, the kid is given the dog, and the mom has to do all the work.
Okay, we'll get you a dog, but you have to take care of
it. Yeah, you take it. You train the dog. Housebreaking, all that stuff, and I don't think I did much of any of it.
No, when has any kid ever they use that? Oh yeah, I'll take care of it. You know,
yeah, it's classic thing. Yeah, and parents still fall for it.
Well, I think sometimes they kind of want a dog too, but I'm more of a cat person. But you know, there's another reason we're different. But you have a cat now, Smokey. Right. No, Ash.
Smokey. Yeah, he's really a bear. Yeah, his name is Ash. He's a middle-aged, lazy, do-for-nothing cat.
And you guys found him in an oak barrel.
He's been seasoned.
For 10 years by the sea.
Yes. He was very expensive.
Oh.
No, he's a good cat. The least amount of work a cat can be.
He can wipe his own butt.
Well,
that's one thing about cats that can't clean themselves. I'm like, I don't get it.
No, you need the standard issue cats who can groom themselves and don't need to go to a hair salon. I'm sorry, that's not right.
Get a perm.
They get crazy amounts of hair overgrown, and you have to go have them trim.
Oh, right. Right. Ow. No.
Because for a while we had a Persian, and boy, that was a pain in the butt.
I've never had a cat like that.
Don't get one.
Cats are not supposed to be that much work.
Apologies to anybody who loves Persians or whatever. There's a little family of flat face cats.
Well, yeah. I mean, or Persians in general. We're not trying to speak against Persians.
Persian people.
I would never do that. I don't know any. I once had a Persian rug.
Did it tie the room together, Phil?
Well, we're really tying one on tonight.
Classic line from The Big Lebowski.
Oh, the rug.
He peed on your rug, dude. you apparently need to see it a few more times. Classic movie. It gets better every time you watch it.
Oh, I've definitely seen it. I haven't for a while, though. I should watch that again.
It's worth it. Yeah, I highly recommend it.
I don't know. Can kids watch that?
Well, maybe your kids can. I don't know.
Well,
I wouldn't do that.
But. I don't know. I think they'll be fine. Hey, we grew up on some weird stuff. I mean, if you go back and look at some of those Warner Brother cartoons,
they're pretty twisted.
I mean, look. So this hunter guy, you know, this rabbit, all he does is put some lipstick on and the wig.
Mm-hmm.
And the hunter just completely falls in love for this rabbit. I mean, that's weird.
They're really starved for attention, you know, Elmer Fudd was.
Well, he's out in the woods.
Cross-dressing rabbit, yeah.
He's out in the woods a lot. I don't think...
on the woods.
You get tired of ducks. No, but Daffy Duck, he'd never cross-dress.
No, that was definitely a Bugs Bunny thing, wasn't it?
But he pulled it off.
Do kids watch Looney Tunes anymore, or is it kind of died out?
I don't know if they have access. Now, of course, my kids had access to them, but I don't think... I wonder. But you know what? From the kids that I have shown these cartoons to, they still hold up. They're really funny. Some of them get a little slow in parts that I didn't remember, but I mean, overall, and the music that, what was that, Carl Stalling or whatever?
Yes, yes.
He was doing such clever stuff with the soundtracks on those things, and the directors and the animation and everything and all the jokes and, oh my God.
They're amazing. They
did have their World War II propaganda years, which probably should be ignored. But
they're interesting to watch as adults. But yeah, they need a lot of disclaimers.
It's kind of a historical thing. I'm not saying they should be erased from the face of the earth. I think that
Disney put them out. Disney did, but because they had their own. I'm speaking out of turn. The Warner ones may have been put out. I forget, but. Yeah, I have this DVD of the World War II Disney cartoons.
Well, they did their own propaganda movies.
Yeah, they are definitely made for the war and Pluto enlists in the army and stuff like that. And Donald Duck gets drafted.
You mean Goofy?
Pluto? No. There's one called Private Pluto.
Oh, well, he was like a Rin Tin Tin or something.
He still doesn't talk, but you know he has a little toy gun and stuff.
Oh, that doesn't make sense. I thought maybe he'd be like a war dog, like Rin Tin Tin or something. Wasn't Rin Tin Tin like
no.
a... Wait a minute. That was a German shepherd. Oh, see, so maybe he was actually a Nazi. Was Rin Tin Tin a Nazi?
A German shepherd? Yeah.
No, not the all Donald, Germans are Nazis.
The Donald Duck one is the famous one where Der Führer's face, the song, was first used. The Spike Jones song.
Spike Jones. I almost said Stan Freberg. No, Spike Jones did the song for that. Is it his song?
I think it was done before the cartoon was made, but they used it in the cartoon.
But it was Spike Jones' song.
It's the same song.
Okay, all right.
Same recording.
He wasn't covering something from a Disney movie.
No. I'm pretty sure it was done first.
No, that's clearly something he would have done. Nobody, you can't. Wait, let's do a Spike Jones cover. We never discuss topics or what we're going to talk about. Was there anything on your mind?
Yeah, no, I shouldn't watch the news and stuff before we record.
And I try not to talk about it on here, but...
No, and I don't want to because doesn't everybody have enough of that as it is, but...
Oh, my God.
You just get this... I don't know, I just sigh all the time and think, nothing's going to change, and it's all pointless, but... But it's not, so.
I guess. The one thing I was thinking about today is I just find it very hard to believe that the white supremacists out there were as traumatized by having an African-American in the White House as most liberals are about having Donald Trump in the White House. And they reacted, you know, they elected Donald Trump. Or not, it wasn't just them, of course, but part of it was a reaction to Obama, even though he really couldn't do much because Congress wouldn't let him, but whatever. We're getting into politics. So now I'm wondering, so is the pendulum going to swing even really further, like a really left wackadoodle, or what, you know, who's coming up? Chris
Matthews.
Well,
that's the thing. We don't really know.
I want Chris Matthews. No, he's too old.
But he does have particularly large balls.
I don't think he's older
balls.
Than Trump is, though.
That shouldn't be a guideline.
No.
I heard that Bernie Sanders is going to run again.
Oh, okay, sure. Bernie bros.
Hey, you know what? I like the guy, but I wouldn't vote for him again. I mean, well, I want somebody new.
Yeah, they need to find somebody new.
I voted for him at some point.
I don't think this is a place we need to get into politics,
Well, here's another thing, though, because we talk about the past, but who was the first person you ever voted for?
Well, that's easy. That was Michael Dukakis.
You know who I voted for? Jesse Jackson.
Oh.
I think I was one of only three people in South Dakota that voted for Jesse Jackson.
Well, he used to yell out, less money for arms, more money for farms.
John's impersonation of John F. Kennedy impersonating Jesse Jackson was brought to you by Ramco. Looks like you need a pipeline.
No, I don't know. I can't remember what he said. He said it better, but...
Hopefully, he wouldn't have gotten very far if he sounded like that.
You know what? And he was one of the only presidential candidates that went to Pine Ridge, and you know, I don't know. I was young.
Oh, so that was 86. Was he on the ballot in 86?
I'm trying to remember the first year I voted
because that
president.
Was the first
Wasn't
year
I voted.
No, 88, sorry, I'm a couple of years off. 88 was the year Dukakis ran as the Democrat, because that was the end of the Reagan administration.
Did Jesse Jackson also run that year? It must have been the same year.
Maybe he ran as an independent or something.
Well, I voted for him in a primary.
Oh, see, I definitely didn't vote in the primary.
Oh, see, no, I was going to vote. I had to sign up for the Selective Service, so I better vote. I don't know. I was really excited about voting.
Yeah, I remember vividly going to a Wilson school, and I pulled a lever because they still had those old machines.
Oh, you had to go behind the little curtain thing.
The curtains, yep, and you'd pull the levers. Yeah.
Oh, it's a long
lever.
None of this
paper stuff.
Or push button things that are controlled by the Ruskies. No, this was, no, I went to South Junior High, but that was the same experience, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think there were a lot of people in line. I don't think
maybe they should
wait.
Bring those back. They can't hack into those things.
Well, no. But you remember that? You had to go behind the curtain, so you pulled that shut or something, and then you went and pulled this huge crank. But this was a big machine, though, it seemed like to me in my memory.
Yeah, I seem to remember seeing these big machines. Because they kept them at the school, and when I was much younger, I would remember seeing these things, and years later, I knew what they were for.
And you would hack them. Oh, remember the voting token wars, where you could put 20 tokens in and get 5 votes?
5 votes.
And then you'd go to Wilson, and you could get, you know, 30 tokens
and $1. And when you're supposed to be walking your dog.
Walk the dog! Did your dad have a different name for Sandy? He came up with different names for everything, but not usually animals.
Names to the animals, though.
But not animals or people.
His favorite animal was Sam, though.
Oh, good old Sam.
The little wire-haired dachshund that my parents had when I was just out of college years.
You were out of the house. They kicked out of the nest. I remember Sam.
They loved him. But my dad just really bonded with him.
Sam was a good dog, too.
Yeah, he was.
And you could... You know,
and very smart.
Throw him like a football too. He was really lightweight. And, no, we never.
No, the best. And again, don't want to turn this into Jack Knowles theater here, but
well, he was an icon.
So
too.
He used to build and rebuild his backyard deck, and it was built on a hill. So they had to put up some kind of a barrier so that stuff wouldn't get in the little area underneath.
Right.
And one day I was there, and he was. he had been working on it, and he didn't want Sam to get back there and get stuck or something. And he came out and told me he had measured the width of Sam's skull. And that's how he spaced the wooden beams or whatever. I just thought it was the most bizarre thing. Like, what are you talking about?
What, that's totally your dad.
Yeah, that was one of his
retirement
projects.
He was another Rapid City icon. We could talk about him for a long time.
Yeah.
We've talked about a wide range of exciting
this
topics.
This has been a different episode than the previous ones, so.
I guess. What do you mean?
I feel like
more rambling?
We were a little more thoughtful.
Well, I've been in kind of a thoughtful
sadder
mood lately.
But wiser girl for me.
I've been in a kind of an introspective sort of mood over the, I don't know, it's just been a kind of a weird week, but that's okay. You know, we'll mix it up a little bit.
Good night, Phil.
Good night, John.
Next week on Time to Lean and Here's a Song.
How you doing, Phil?
I'm a little out of it. I don't know. I don't want to get too... I try to keep things pretty light on here, but I just, you know, we just heard about Anthony Bourdain's suicide and...
right after Kate Spade.
I didn't even know who that was. I know now.
My wife really likes her stuff, like her watches and things like that.
Yeah, Anthony Bourdain, he was... I stopped watching his show for a while because he's kind of one of those people that personalities that you feel like you kind of know them even though you don't really. And they transfer a lot of themselves onto the screen or something and you can associate with them or something. And over the years, he got a little bit, you know, lighter and a little less acerbic or something, but he still had that edge and stuff. But you always had the kind of feeling that he was... He just wasn't quite satisfied with everything and like maybe felt guilty about his success or he felt kind of stuck or something. And I stopped watching the show for a while because I mean, I don't even know the guy, but I was like a little worried about him, I guess. But
really interesting. I got to admit that I read his famous book, Kitchen Confidential.
Which I've never read.
Which I highly recommend. It's really fascinating book. And
yeah,
that's what really got him on the map.
It's groundbreaking.
And I read that, and I of course I've seen him on TV. I maybe very occasionally caught his TV show, and that's the one where he travels around to all these countries and eats the local food.
Yeah, and things talks like to that. People.
Yeah, where he eats lots of weird stuff.
Well, not too weird. He's not like the other guy, the bald guy, but the guy from Minnesota, I think. I can't remember his name, but he's bald.
Louis Anderson.
Yeah. No, it's not.
That was a different episode.
Why doesn't he have his own travel cooking show?
Now we're gonna go eat some lutefisk.
Hot dish confidential. Obviously, you were a little more in tune with his persona.
Well, it's just always, you know, I never knew if it was kind of his shtick a little bit. You know, he's playing it up, but evidently he was. He did have. Was struggling with some stuff. I know he struggled with, you know, I think heroin addiction. He got over that and quit smoking and that kind of thing. But I don't know. But anyway.
Wow. That's really sad, though.
Yeah. And other than that, I...
How was the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
I probably got a couple hours sleep, and hey, I'm ready.
See,
how about you?
See, even better. I'm good. So... It's a little different day. I did not work today, which has so far not been the case in our other recordings. So I like usually in the other times I've come home from work and we've done our recording. Today I had the day off.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm not in the kitchen.
That's why you sound different.
There's no echo. I'm actually down in the lower office where I usually record all the Star Trek podcasts.
Well, anyway, it sounds quite a bit different. You might have to go back to the kitchen. It's throwing me off a little bit.
Yeah, maybe people will miss the slight echo that
we
came
can
off
add,
the other one.
We'll add some echo on your track.
Yeah, but I do have my beverage, so.
What are you drinking? I'm just drinking the the time to lime again, but what are you
time
drinking?
Time to lime, okay. I mixed it up a little bit, so this time I'm drinking rum and tonic.
A rum and tonic.
A rum and tonic, which a friend of mine suggested, which I'd never tried that combination.
What do you think?
I like it. It's a little different. It adds some more depth than vodka or gin and tonic does.
Interesting.
I'm using this Nicaraguan. It's probably a medium rum. It's not a super dark one, but it's not a white rum either.
Golden.
It's a golden, yeah.
A golden so retriever.
It's about a 4 year aged, or so. It's a nice. I would call it a moderate rum.
Still a little lime juice in there?
I didn't put any lime juice in it.
So you don't need it that way, maybe.
Well, I'm cheating a little bit because I'm not just doing a straight up tonic water. I'm also using this elderflower tonic.
Ah, okay.
Which I'm kind of a fan of, actually. It's good.
I haven't had elderflower tonic, but I've had, you know, I put a little elderflower liqueur. I can't remember the name of that. Edelweiss. No, I don't know what the name of the
Edelweiss.
I don't know what the name of the liqueur is, but sometimes you can put that in, you know, a gin drink or something. A gin and tonic with a little of that, maybe.
This tonic is really good. It's one of those Fever Tree brand.
Yeah, ones. I haven't tried. They make. Let's see, what else they make? They make a few other mixers.
They do. Yeah, they do a ginger beer, a standard tonic. One thing I like about their regular tonic is it's got a little more bite to it than the standard Canada Dry or Schweppes. Or Scotch Bye or whatever.
Scotch Bye soda water. I don't know. You can't.
Soda water, I just can't. Unless I really need it, I can't justify buying it because it's just carbonated water, man.
Oh, I know. I drink a lot of it. But do you have one of those soda maker things still?
We have a Soda Stream, yeah, which is a great way to make club soda.
Well, I go through so many bottles of club soda lately, I might as well get one of those.
Oh, you should get one because even if you never make actual pop.
Yeah.
Pop or soda? We'll have to get back to that. It's a debate that nobody gives a shit about.
Sody pop, as we used
Sody
to say.
Sody pop. No, it makes good soda because you can control how much carbonation you put in. So if you like it a lot more carbonated than the standard types, you can do that.
So basically you just, there's like a CO2 tank that you can buy from somewhere. Online or something, or what?
Yeah, well, you get one with the machine,
and it lasts a while.
They last a long time, and then when it's empty, at least this is what I do. I take it to Target. Their customer service desk swaps it out for one that's full, kind of like a propane tank exchange, if you will.
Oh, strange!
And then they reuse it, and somebody else gets it.
And they just take care of that at the front desk.
Yeah, they have I think a lot of the stores do that, but you reuse the tanks because it's a nice steel.
Oh yeah,
CO2 tank.
You could throw it at people.
It's they're pretty substantial. And yeah, that's so. It's SodaStream is not the only one out there, of course, but that's probably the most well known. We got this years ago for Spencer because he loves soda so much.
Root beer.
He's a root beer fiend. And you know, after the novelty wore off, he kind of got tired of making it. So I'm the only one who ever uses it, and I have to kind of remember it's there.
Yeah,
it's almost in the same category as those bread makers and other appliances that most people don't use, and it ends up at a rummage sale.
I was afraid it would be something like that, so I never got one. But I now that I'm drinking so much more club soda that
oh, if you actually buy club soda, you should do this because. And usually I think I would do it in a 1 liter reusable bottle. And the bottles keep their carbonation pretty well, long enough to go through a liter at least. That's not that much.
Yeah.
And then you just do that, keep it in the fridge. And well, I think it's great for that. I don't know how great the actual soda, the flavorings and stuff are. Most of the ones I tried were just a little bit inferior to the stuff they were trying to imitate.
Dr. Pepper. Now there's another subject, sodas and soda pops, but the Dr. Pepper variants that we used to drink, Skipper, Safeway's brand was Skipper.
Oh my God, speaking of Safeway, yeah, the Skipper. I forgot all about Skipper.
Skipper was okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Pibb.
It's no... Or today it's just Pibb.
Oh. Wasn't there a Pibb Extreme or Pibb X or something for a while?
I think they just put a different Pibb, name on it. I don't think Pibb, it ever changed.
Pibb Extra?
Pibb Extra. Well,
but...
Or my old favorite, Mr. Green.
Oh, Mr. Green.
Do you remember Mr. Green? I bet nobody listening does. Shall I describe it?
I may be confusing it with Surge.
Oh, yeah, different deal. Yeah, they're both green, but taste different.
Not to be confused with Mr. Surge, which was available in various flesh tones.
I'm trying to remember Mr. Green.
Okay, Mr. Green was this very short-lived pop. I want to say it was early 2000s or so.
I'm sure I had it.
Now, do you remember, to back it up, do you remember this brand of beverage called Sobe?
Yeah.
S-O-B-E.
Not to be confused with S-O-B, the soda that came out in conjunction with the Blake Edwards movie of the same name, which tasted like Julie Andrews.
Yeah, that's not around
lizard,
anymore.
Had lizard logo. I don't actually, oh, yeah, no, I think they might be still around, yeah.
I drank some of that, sure.
Yeah, at some point, I think they started out as a weird independent making goofy drinks and stuff. Yeah. And then I think Pepsi or somebody bought them out and they thought they would try making a pop. Because yeah. Most of their other stuff were, I don't know, ginseng, fruit, blah, blah, blah. You know,
yeah,
whatever.
Sure. But tea or something.
They came up with this soda called Mr. Green. And it was this dark green colored pop. But it tasted like Dr. Pepper, except it had extra caffeine and ginseng in it.
Yeah, that does sound familiar. Well, what is Surge?
Surge was this Mountain Dew-like thing.
I just saw a Surge in the store the other day. Maybe they're trying to make a comeback.
It was brought back, yeah. Surge was another one that about the same time period. And
what was
it was another Mountain Dew competitor.
So Mountain Dew, did it have cherry in it?
I don't know. I think it was that same citrusy, super sugary, super caffeinated thing.
Sure. All right.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other? Oh, Jolt. That was the other Jolt soda.
Jolt was actually cola, though.
And that was like twice the caffeine or something.
The logo was all the sugar, double the caffeine, or twice the caffeine. Jolt.
So around here, if people are in the Twin Cities area, there's a Blue Soda Company or something like that, I think it's called. Or Blue Moon or Blue Something Soda Company. I should have looked it up. But anyway, it's I won't take time now to do it. I think it's Blue Soda Company. And it's they have like, I don't know how many different kinds of sodas there. And so they have them by category. So there's a whole section of Dr. Pepper variations. And from around the world and or the country, at least, maybe not around the world, but they do get some from other places, too. They make their own sodas, too, there. They have a little bottling machine, I guess, a bottler.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Evidently, they use like really old Coke bottles or something and then recap them. And you can get some kind of, you know, deposit back when you bring them in or something. It's a little too far for me to go very often, but they... And then they have a section of really, really odd sodas, like, you know, I don't know, booger flavored or whatever, but...
booger flavor. Well, it that's like those Jones sodas that had, like, a turkey dinner flavored soda. Yeah. And
they probably have those.
So why not booger flavored?
No, I don't think it was booger, but I'm getting confused with those weird jelly beans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I need another beverage. So,
okay, we'll pause.
I'll be back.
Okay.
John and Phil never came back. Yeah.